Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
How cold is it here in Montana? Man, I didn't even get a chance to go check the, usually the Associated Press, they'll do a whole list of all the, you know, temperatures across the state as of like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then they'll include, you know, the feels like temperature, the wind chills, things like that. So it's kind of fun just to see, okay, who's the toughest, who's the coldest here this morning. But I think John Jackson, the Joker from X, you just sent out a tweet. 20 below zero was one of the wind chills you spotted somewhere, right?
Yeah, 20 below zero in a large portion of central Montana last night. That's the wind chill. And then
that's not too bad.
Oh, yeah, short pants weather, yeah.
You start getting to 60 below zero, now we're talking. But, yeah, 20 below zero, you know, hey.
I got a brand new puppy, and you're having to take this puppy out all the time to try to get it housebroken. And, oof, you're standing out there. And
this is the worst time of year to try to house train a puppy.
Every 30 minutes or an hour. Outside.
Yeah, they don't want to go outside normally. Now they really don't want to go outside.
And it appears to me that these puppies, because they don't have the depth and the weight, they're much more subject to that cold. I mean, she does not want to be out there in that cold.
Oh, what kind of puppy you got, by the way? I saw a photo on X. Cute looking little dog you got there.
Well, a mix of Lab and Grand Pyrenees.
Oh, interesting. That's going to be a cool dog. Yeah, we got this little nut job. She's half beagle and half something else, so she looks like a pocket beagle, and she gets all you put her out there in that cold for 20 seconds and she comes back and it's like she grew up in a meth home before we picked her up at the shelter or something. I mean, just spinning around, butt dragging on the floor while she, you know, does 360s. I mean, that thing's insane. You know, how's it, everybody, when you try to go for a stinking walk? But
beagles are great hunting dogs. My uncle used to have a whole pack of them that hunt rabbits.
I know. I feel like I need to take her to London, England or something and go out to the countryside and go bird hunting or go fox hunting out there or something with the dog or something. But she'll probably get distracted and, you know, chase somebody's, you know, leftover, you know, hot dog that fell on the ground or something.
The good thing about this weather is when that poop hits the backyard, you come back 30 minutes later, that thing's a rock, man. That thing is froze solid.
See, you're not like one of those guys that goes on the walk and just pretends to not see anything happening and doesn't pick out the plastic bag and, yeah, got that squishy thing that you got to carry with you for the rest of the walk. It is, how cold is it in Montana? Numbers, what do numbers tell you? It is so cold in Montana that Private Joker here has his Vietnam era camouflage looking cold weather gear out with us here today. So
Operation Snowcap, government issue right there, buddy. Been with me for how long is that, 30 years?
Hey, speaking of government issue camouflage, Light Brows in Hardin, he's a great guy. He's a Green Beret veteran. He's had some incredible assignments, but he sent me a message on the Montana Talks app, you know, about Doge and Elon Musk going after USAID funding. Lightbrow sent this message: Doge will probably find that USAID was paying illegals to travel here and also donating money to political campaigns. Wouldn't surprise me. Lightbrows, they already found that information. They already found out that USAID was taking your money to give to the NGOs to traffic illegal aliens into America. We'll talk about that next.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow around the region today, accumulations generally staying at an inch or less. High temperature readings will range from near 20 in Bozeman to around 8 above in Billings. For tonight, we can expect more light snow showers with a 1 to 3 inch accumulation. Lows near 0 in Billings, near 10 in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Soon, you might be able to have your gun in the sun. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis likes to refer to the place as the free state, though Second Amendment proponents have long bemoaned the state still does not conform to the so-called constitutional carry standard. And while the state in 2023 began allowing permitless concealed carry, only now is DeSantis openly calling for a bill to legalize open carry throughout the state, meaning walking around with your handgun visibly holstered. Regardless, Florida is still widely considered gun-friendly. It stands in sharp contrast to states like New Jersey, where Governor Phil Murphy said the Supreme Court's Bruin case would lead to more deaths due to it ending gun restrictions. Well, New Jersey's been issuing more carry permits ever since, and now it's revealed that reports of gun-related violence are down to a 15-year low. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Single-digit temperatures, snow in several parts of Montana. I just hope it all clears up before the Gate Show in Glendive coming up on Valentine's Day, Friday and Saturday. Hey, either way, we will be there with Montana Talks live from the Gate Show in Glendive. Always great to catch up with our friends in eastern Montana. In the meantime, we're taking your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the state. Statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
John, I do not see Rigo's name on the list here. I thought Rigo might be on the list. So this guy, Rigo from Columbia Falls, remember we thought that maybe he was a white guy? Apparently he's not a white guy. He apparently is somebody who was in this country as an illegal alien. Now, I'm trying to figure out, is he supposedly legal now or is he illegal? I hope Rigo calls in one of these days, but his name is not on the list here. Four men detained by Border Patrol, temporarily held in county jail. That's a Daily Interlake story that just came out. The four men were identified in jail records as Carlos Daniel Acevedo Cisneros, Eduardo Hernando Olivares, Angel or Angel. Is it Angel or Angel?
Angel.
Barrios Munoz and David Neri Sandoval de la Cruz. All right, there we go.
You sounded like one of those Mexican girl weather girls.
Well,
right there.
That was my L.A. news anchor. You know, you can be boring, nerdy, white guy all day long, but when you read a Hispanic name, Angel Barrios Munoz and David Neri Sandoval de la Cruz. And now, John, back to the weather.
I always
we toss it back to you.
Listen to Obama back in the day talking about Pakistan
and
the Taliban.
Iran.
And then he would turn right around and say Afghanistan. Right? Dude, come on.
Keep it consistent, man. Keep it consistent. But this news about the four guys detained in the Flathead County Detention Center, they were put there by U.S. Border Patrol. There was a story I shared yesterday that Representative Lucas Schubert first flagged for us, where citizen reports led to multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. Haven't seen all the names there, so I don't know if Rigo's on the list or not on the list, or if he's technically legal now or not.
But I was holding off, man.
Fox News commentary.
I was holding off. We got a Fox News thing. I was holding off there because I was thinking that maybe our guys here in Montana got detailed out to some of the other bigger operations. So, but if you're saying that they're answering calls right now, brother, as soon as the show is over, I'm dropping dime. And Rigo, Rigo out there, you need to know that, buddy, if you're feeling lonely this morning, Aaron already got your IP address from that email you sent in, and he's already sent it to our folks at La Migra.
So. I did not get the IP address. That's a brilliant idea, though. No, actually, I was hoping Rigo would call in because I truly wanted to hear what an illegal alien in Montana thinks and why they think that it's just okay to just say, you know what, screw all you guys. I'm going to ignore your laws, and I'm just going to show up and do whatever I want. And whether you're here on a legal status now or not, like, what made you think that that's okay to just come in here and do that? Like, what other country around the world allows people to do that? You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, he may be a nice guy, and he says, well, I paid taxes. Well, so what? That doesn't mean that just because you pay taxes, you get to break into this country and enter illegally. And it doesn't mean that just because there might be some good people thrown in the mix, that we let all these other dirtbags and rapists and murderers and drug cartel operatives come in, too.
Well, how they all messed up, and it's been cumulative over the last 10, 15 years. And Bongino had this great quote from a movie the other day on his show, in which one bad guy was telling another, hey, when you're committing crime, don't be committing crime. Meaning, you know, we're right here in the middle of a job. He's telling the bad guy, we're right here in the middle of a job. Don't be doing something stupid that's going to bring attention on us and yourself. And see, that's what all these illegals have been doing for the last 10 or 15 years. Like they didn't do prior to this. They came in this country and they were quiet. They worked their jobs. They went home and they knew to stay quiet or they'd get busted and deported. See, now they're just out there committing crimes. Why they're committing crime.
Because they got away with it. Because they got away with it because liberal prosecutors, liberal judges, Democrat politicians did, and Democrat voters did not care. They did not care. And they whitewashed it. They ignored it. And they thought they could continue to get away with it. Well, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a few new sheriffs in town. But back to this whole story about the USAID funding with our taxpayer dollars, the very NGOs that were trafficking illegal aliens into America. Here's part of what Stephen Miller had to say on Sean Hannity. Big time Sean Hannity last night.
They have rallied around the biggest losing rallying cry of all time, which is going to war for a swamp nest of bureaucrats at an agency called the U.S. Agency for International Development. Not American development, not developing East Palestine, Ohio, not developing the forgotten communities in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not developing the border towns in Texas that have been run over by an illegal alien invasion for 4 years under Biden, but developing countries all over the world except our own.
Yeah, great point. And then you can put some Montana spin on that one. They didn't get, they're not clutching their pearls over the U.S. Agency for Butte Development or the U.S. Agency for Browning Development or pick your Montana town. No, this is what drove Democrats to finally resist.
Well, how do you know you hit the enemy's bunker? It's when they all come running out screaming like a bunch of ants. And these, they went absolutely nuts over this. And Doge.
La cucarachas, not ants.
La cucarachas.
Ay, Dios mío.
No empieza conmigo, yeah.
No say. I don't speak Japanese.
Speak American. You know? Wait, Doge got all into this as well as a lot of other internet sleuths, and they are actually going through the line, the budget of USAID, a line at a time, and oh my God, Aaron, they are pulling out the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars spent all over, and these are billions of dollars. So they are paying journalists to do hit pieces on their political enemies. Okay, they are financing all, like you pointed out, all of the illegals coming in. They are CIA fronts for different dirty work all over the world. It is a, like Stephen Miller said, it is a hornet's nest, and they got to burn that place to the ground.
And to Lightbrows and Hardin, yes, Stephen Miller calls them out. They've already exposed the fact that USAID taxpayer funds were going directly to these NGOs to traffic illegal aliens into this country. A couple of quick sound bites from Stephen Miller after this. Your phone calls as well, 294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the President have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy, so it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca.
St. Texas. No hold 'em.
Beyonce taking home the top award at the Grammys. Her album, Cowboy Carter, winning Album of the Year. Beyonce is both the most awarded and nominated artist in Grammys history.
Oopsie, made a oopsie.
Doechii also making Grammys history as only the third woman to win an award for Best Rap Album.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Kendrick Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us, earning a total of 5 wins. First Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Best Rap Song, Best Rap Performance, and Best Music Video. This comes a week before Kendrick is set to headline the Super Bowl halftime show. Chappell Roan was crowned Best New Artist and performed her hit, Pink Pony Club, during the award show. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, Bill in Billings, stand by. We'll get to your phone call here in just a second. And then Tim, I can't wait to take Tim's phone call because he wants to say something about the New Jersey governor. And John Jackson, just during the break, was like, do you hear about the New Jersey governor? Tim will tell us about it. The Joker will weigh in as well. Let's see. First, though, here you go. Regarding that message from Lightbrows in Hardin, here is Stephen Miller, top aide in the White House to President Donald J. Trump, exposing how USAID, taking your taxpayer dollars, using it against you, funding the very NGOs that are trafficking illegal aliens into America.
They funnel money to their cronies all over the world through a swampy network of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and cutouts, including potentially some very troubling elements of focusing on things like regime change and destabilizing foreign countries. But this is not about America's interests. Donald Trump is courageously restoring democracy. Article 2 of the executive branch vests all power by the Constitution. Sorry, Article 2 of the Constitution vests all power of the executive branch in a president. It's known as the vesting clause. It says the executive power shall be vested in a president.
Yeah, not in a bureaucracy, not in a unelected bureaucrat. Anyway, there's another great soundbite from Miller that I want to get to at some point this morning as well. But we got a lot of great callers on the line, so let's jump into it. Bill in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, guys. Really enjoying the show this morning. There's so many things going on now that Trump's in. But, you know, the Chinese are threatening to cut off our critical minerals. And we sit here closing down the Stillwater mine. I wonder if there's some way you guys bump into or visit with any of our congressmen or our two senators and put a bug in their ear to talk to Trump about keeping that mine open.
Yeah.
Instead of sending another $100 billion to Ukraine, there's got to be some way he could throw a billion into that mine and keep it operating. And maybe if he's made aware of it, I'll bet he could find a way to do it because we need those minerals.
No, I totally hear you. And we want those jobs back, high-wage jobs. We all know somebody who's been personally affected by this. Great phone call, Bill in Billings. John, I did see the Bozeman Daily Chronicle has a good article out this morning, a couple of interesting articles this morning that caught my eye. There's this one. Here's the headline, Canary in the Coal Mine, Lawmakers and Mining Firm Want the United States to Ban Russian Palladium. Now, I know that Donald Trump is playing 3D chess and he's going to get this whole Russia-Ukraine situation figured out here. And I'd imagine this will be another chess piece in that. But, yeah, I know Montana's officials have talked about it. I'm going to see if they're quoted in this particular piece or not. But yeah, I mean, that seems like a very easy. Oh, yeah, here we go. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. Last Congress, Senator Daines and I introduced a bill to ban critical minerals from being imported from Russia. That bill and policies like it are exactly what Congress and the new administration needs to be focusing on, increasing American production of critical minerals and reducing our reliance on foreign adversaries. And so Zinke said the state's GOP congressional delegation will be reintroducing a bill put forward last year to restrict palladium and platinum imports from Russia. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, Joe Biden funded all of our enemies while he defunded and bankrupt Americans.
Like we say all the time on your show, that's what everybody has to remember, is that is the overall goal of the left, is the destruction of our government and our way of life, because they want to replace it with European socialism. So how do you do that? You have to topple the place first. And here's the other thing. Don't everybody out there, what you're being inundated with right now from all media across the spectrum, except maybe for Montana Talks and some people out there online, is Ermagerd Panama, Ermagerd Canada, Ermagerd Mexico. Oh, and your caller was talking about China's threatening this. Look. You know, Michael Corleone up there, Donald Trump, is taking care of all family business right now. And all of these pipsqueaks out there flapping their lips for quotes in the mainstream media are all of them going to back down. They all have up to now, and they all will. So no preocupes. Don't worry.
I was gonna save that for the 9 o'clock hour, too. Could you imagine if we spent all day yesterday, oh no! What about tariffs with China or with Canada? Oh no! What about tariffs with Mexico? We've already seen how this plays out. We win. Trump puts America first. America wins. He's the deal maker in chief. He's the art of the deal author. Like it's like all these guys, like they're faux outrage. They're never Trumper doomsday BS. They should be apologizing to every one of their readers or viewers today, but they don't. They just move on to the next faux outrage. All right, what about that governor of New Jersey, Tim in Billings? Give us the news.
Jack, good morning. Thanks for your help with the radio. Hey, I was just listening to Uncle Vin last night, and his guest host had a story with the governor of New Jersey was challenging Trump with illegal aliens in his house, and the host put it on the internet and made it viral. And between the show was over, the governor buckled.
Arriba. He was backtracking quickly, wasn't he? Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. John, yeah, this was one of the stories you were telling me about during the break. So yeah, kind of in line with what Tim was saying, I say, give us your recap as well.
Oh, he nailed it. And that's exactly what happened. Governor Murphy of New Jersey, who's a sleazebag piece of Adam Schiff, was trying to tell somebody on some small show the other day that, you know, he, by God, he's going to house and shelter an illegal alien in an extra room in his house. And what is ICE going to do about it? Well, within 24 hours, he and his people had to come out and say, no, that's not really happening. We were just saying that to make a point. No, the governor is not housing any illegal. because see, if this had been, just before January 20th, he would have kept on with this. But see, now that he knows Tom Holman is running that place, he does not want to knock on his door.
So. Yeah, and maybe not even a knock, maybe just a clunk, clunk,
clunk,
and then and then you hear the footsteps going up the. It'd be like in Christmas Vacation. You know, when Cousin Eddie kidnaps the boss, and all of a sudden the SWAT team's going in through the windows, and that's what New Jersey. You know, hey, once you've raided the underwear drawer of the First Lady of the President of the United States and the great panty raid of Mar-a-Lago, hey. You don't think your doors could get kicked in now? I mean, you guys set the precedent.
The thought of an ICE dawn, pre-dawn raid of the governor of New Jersey's home. It's you see me right now, Aaron. I have my eyes closed. It's like watching porn. I mean,
I know this is the most unwoke hour of the week, but we've still got some respectable people listening.
I'm getting excited here.
Have you no decency, man? Oh my goodness! All right.
Have you no shame?
Oh, you're like Ilhan Omar complaining about USAID funding getting cut. All right, switching tracks altogether. We've got Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar on the phone lines right now. Brad, what's going on?
Oh, nothing as exciting as doing a panty raid on the governor of New Jersey.
Well, you never know what we're going to talk about. We just, we've been talking trash all day here. You know what I'm saying? You want to talk a little trash, too, it sounds like, as now president of the PSC.
I'm actually kind of knee-deep in that subject. I was on the commission for 8 years before this. I never saw anything like this. Class B is what we issue for trash hauling. And in Stillwater County, the Class D holder, Republic Sanitation, has not picked up the trash in over 6 weeks. They've gotten the bills out. They promised us to have it corrected time and time again. And most recently, a work session for the commission, and yesterday we got more complaints. So on Thursday at 5:30, and I appreciate being able to use your show because communications there for us are a bit difficult. The newspaper doesn't come out till Thursdays. At 5:30 at the library, the Carnegie Library in Big Timber, three commissioners will be there to have a listening session. I dedicated it as a listening session because as a fact-finding session, Republic doesn't have to show up. As a listening session, they do. They'll be there. The people can voice their complaints. They can defend themselves. We can do follow-up questions. After that, we'll go back, get the information, and decide how deep we want to get into this and see if we can't resolve it without the heavy hand of government. But first, the people have to show up. They have to tell us what their experiences were so that we can make note of that and decide going forward, because the PSC does not initiate complaints. We
Interesting. Complaints. So if you've got concerns about trash pickup in Big Timber, that is a regulated industry. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, that that's regulated. If you got concerns, details, when and where again for that meeting in Big Timber on Thursday?
It'll be 5:30 at the Carnegie Library, which is the only library, as my understanding, is in Big Timber. And it'll go from 5:30 till 8:00. They can come up and say what they want to, ask questions of Republic. Republic can respond. We will take that information back, and we will decide what our next step is.
Well, great job leaning forward, not just at waiting for people to come to you or try to make the drive to Helena to give their complaints and concerns. They can air their complaints and get a response right there in person. Thanks for that update, Brad Molnar. Yeah, John, a lot of people don't realize that trash collection is regulated in Montana, kind of like how taxis used to be as well before they allowed Lyft and Uber and these other things.
Well, if you take that for granted, like they have in New York a few times, you realize you really need that service, and it needs to happen in an orderly fashion.
You know, Tom Holman taking out the trash, right, in a major way.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we got a lot of callers on the phone line, so let's jump right back into it. We like to get to Montana callers first, but the mighty Human Z has been patiently waiting probably the longest, and then the other callers got on a little more recently. So let's start with the mighty Human Z. What's going on, Z?
Good morning, Montana Talks. No. This is Senator Bernie Sanders calling about RFK Jr.'s testimony. He lied about the onesies. Onesies I fit home. I tried it. I tried RFK's onesie. Didn't fit me. They say it's not even for you. It's for a baby. Did you sell a onesie? Did you sell a onesie? Did you sell it? Take it off the market. 26 bucks too much. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, I just hope Bernie Sanders has his mittens on today because it's a little chilly.
Oh, Bernie was getting crushed in that hearing
Bernie
the other day with RFK.
Got destroyed by RFK Jr.
Oh, I mean, he comes back at him and says, you know, this is the problem. RFK saying this back to Bernie. He's like, this is the problem with politics is everybody's getting paid off. And that includes you, Bernie. You were the biggest receiver.
What a hypocrite.
Of money from Big Pharma.
When RFK was like, you are the biggest recipient of pharmaceutical money. Not true. Not true. I mean, he was about to cry. Bernie Sanders was about to start crying right there.
He starts waving that finger. No, that's not true. That is not true. And he says, I got that from individual donors. And like my friend Irene Almeida, who's called into your show before, she says, yeah, because that's called bundling. The big pharma people go around to all their employees and all their friends and bundle that money up and give it to you. Yeah.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, the biggest recipient of campaign contributions from the pharmaceutical industry. And here he is shilling, you know, for the pharmaceutical industry. My goodness. And then what, Ron Wyden, the Democrat senator out of Oregon, the guy's been there forever. He looked like the ghost of senators past. I mean, how many boostas has that guy taken? I mean, he's probably had every shot that they push on him. And he looked like the face of death. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that when you were having a conversation about health and you've got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who looks like a 25-year-old bodybuilder, and then Ron Wyden, you know, filling for the pharmaceutical industry up there. I mean, it's like,
that guy could be an extra on The Walking Dead without any makeup. I mean, he looks horrible. He really does look like his next freaking blood test with his doctor is going to come up bad.
Speaking on behalf of pasty white guys, I mean, he makes pasty white guys look like we've just spent a week on the beach. I mean,
do you know what Z is talking about there the other day? The onesie is Bernie Sanders just clowned himself the other day because he thought a big trap for RFK was going to be. He puts up these gigantic posters of these onesies, you know, these things that babies wear, and it has some little saying on it about vaccinations. And Bernie throws this out like this is the big gotcha thing. He's going, did you authorize these onesies? Were you behind these onesies? Do you agree with these? And everybody's like forehead slapping, like, what?
Oh man. God, what a clown show the Democrats in the Senate are. I love, though, my favorite was your tweet yesterday with Chuck Schumer complaining about guacamole and Coronas. It's because he's like, well, actually, I think I've got the clip here for those who missed it. Yeah, it's a quick one. This is a quick soundbite here. This is Jesse Waters last night. Is that where were you watching Jesse Waters when you saw the guacamole clip? Okay, yep. Here it is.
Democrats pretended it was economic Armageddon. Chuck Schumer said, what about my cerveza?
What's that going to mean? Higher prices for New Yorkers, higher prices for Americans. It's going to affect almost everything. Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday, okay? It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac, because what is guacamole made of? Avocados, both from Mexico.
Before Chuck could put down the avocados, the Mexican president buckled and agreed to send 10,000 Mexican soldiers to the southern border to stop migrants and fentanyl. In exchange, Trump paused tariffs on Mexico for a month if they behave.
All right. Anyway, wasn't that just classic? I mean, he's holding up this bottle of Corona. It will take away your beer. It's like, Chuck, there's a million different beers. I don't need to drink. There's Montana beer, like we don't need that Schlitz when we've got, you know, Moostrel, right? You know,
did you hear him say? He's got to explain to the media and to his nitwit Democrat base that, you know, avocados, and that's where guacamole
comes from. Good point.
It's like you remember in Training
Point. Because you and I already know that, but his people don't. They're like, guacamole comes from avocados?
Remember Trading Places where the guy looks at Eddie Murphy and says, you know, bacon, as you would find in a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. What?
My favorite, though, is Jimmy Fallon. He's got the Saturday Night Show on Fox News. He's the former New York City cab driver, stand-up comedian. He said Mexico's president just folded on the tariffs. This is what happens when you bring an avocado to a gunfight. That was perfect. All right, speaking of tariffs, Stephen Ballantyne wants to talk China. Steve, what's going on?
Okay, morning, guys. When I heard that they're going to retaliate and raise a bunch of tariffs on us, okay. First off, we all know that China comes into the country, they purchase one of our items, and then they take it back and they duplicate it. So they're not going to buy our product. They're going to come and get one and then go and duplicate. We all know that. They copy everything that we have. Okay, so, and we all know from, last 6 months to a year, they've been building a power plant, about every month, 2 weeks to a month?
Yeah, I think
so
a coal plant a week, coal. Yeah.
Yep. Right. So they need all our, they're going to raise the tariff on coal.
they need the coal for their power plants so they can duplicate everything that they've sold from us.
Especially our clean coal. Especially our clean coal here in Montana and Wyoming. Cleanest coal in the world. If they need coal, this is where they want it from because they don't want all that smog over Beijing. Yeah, great point, Steve. Thanks for the call. John, you had a great tweet yesterday. I think it was, yesterday afternoon. Canada conducted a massive campaign of resistance against Trump for about 24 hours, and they caved. They're now promising $1.3 billion towards border security, along with the following: a new fentanyl czar, designate cartels as terrorists, ensure 24/7 eyes on the border, launch a U.S.-Canada strike force against organized crime, new intel directive on organized crime and fentanyl worth $200 million. In less than 24 hours, both Mexico and Canada caved. And then you added this: it's almost like the Democrats and the entire D.C. system lied to us for years about using tariffs.
Almost if, right? Almost.
As
you know, you know what's so disgusting about it, too, is to watch your the entirety of the paid political pundit class out there. These people on TV and in the newspapers everywhere, these people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars out there every year and pretend to be the experts on politics and all the stuff that you're supposed to listen to. These are all the people wetting their pants over the last 2 days. Oh, terrorists, oh my God, it's going to be a trade war. Oh my God, the economy's going to fall. I mean, you can't listen to a thing these morons say.
Oh yeah, exactly. All the pearl clutching, and then wah. Oh man, let's see, where do we go next? Hey, if you were trying to call in earlier and you're like, my goodness, the phone lines are full, well, now that we've gotten through several callers, we've got the phone lines open for you once again. 406-294-0970. Plus, John's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. We'll be taking your phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour also. John, we got about a couple of minutes here before the next break. What do you got scribbled on your list you want to talk about next?
Beautiful, beautiful piece of news the other day. Finally, Donald Trump has now got his U.S. attorney pick for the D.C. district sitting in place.
Oh, yeah. This guy's great.
That U.S. attorney heard that the other day as the Doge people tried to get in and start looking at the books there at USAID. They had a whole bunch of their employees pull some kind of resistance mover in which they were trying to hide documents from them and stop them from looking at the books. And the U.S. attorney in D.C. put out a statement that he has heard about this. And if any crimes are taking place here, meaning fraud and false statements and all these other things, he will be looking at them and will prosecute them. So they're telling you right now, not only are we doing this, folks, but we have a U.S. attorney in place that will prosecute you if you try to obstruct us.
What did he say at the bottom of that letter, too? There was a funny little, oh, and by the way, at the bottom of that, I think I tweeted it out, but maybe I didn't. Man, it's like there's... To a previous caller's point, Donald Trump is delivering so much in the first 2 weeks, nobody can keep up with all the good news that's going on out there right now.
It is a tidal wave, and it is shock and awe, speed, surprise, violence of action. The enemies of the state, the enemies of America cannot stay on one topic because Donald Trump is hitting them with 10, 15 every day.
It's what we've referred to as violence of action. And now, hopefully, we're starting to see more unity of effort as more of these Republican senators announce they're going to back Tulsi Gabbard and maybe even RFK and more. All right, we'll get to your calls next.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, in the 1990s, USAID is a group that implicated the forced sterilization of approximately 300,000 indigenous women in Peru as part of monies launched there. The New York Post reported USAID gave nearly $1 million to Gaza, a charity there tied to Hamas, 6 days before the October 7th attack. The Biden administration repeatedly used USAID to push abortion, according to FoxNews.com, on Africa. Why are we spending billions of dollars like this? We've got to rethink all that we do. And that's what Donald Trump is doing.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Securing America.
It is Super Bowl week in New Orleans. Kathy Lanier, the NFL's chief security officer, says organizers are ready to meet their safety goals.
I am confident that the safest place to be this weekend will be in this areas around under the security umbrella that this team has put together.
During a Monday briefing, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem offered this good news.
Right now, we have no specific credible threats.
Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says changes have been made following the terrorist attack in the French Quarter on New Year's.
Any gaps that we could find inside of this city, targets that we could harden, we did.
For the first time, the area around the Superdome where the game will be played will be an enhanced security zone. Officials are also closely monitoring cyber threats and human trafficking operations this week. Kevin Muretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, we got to mention this. So I just saw an Associated Press news story. So China and the U.S., we may still have a little bit of a trade tit for tat here, and that's all right. But anyway, guess what? China is saying they're going to put some new tariffs on if we put some new tariffs on. And get this. Oh, no. They're going to investigate Google. Oh, no, don't go after Google. Oh, no.
Is that supposed to be a threat? I mean, investigate Google. Oh, please, don't.
No.
Stop.
Don't
please.
Investigate
Google. Oh, gosh, you got me right in the heart with that one.
See, folks, pretend along with us. Pretend to be concerned. Let's let the communist Chinese think that we really don't want Google to be investigated.
The world's largest search engine that is actively run by the communists is set up to track us and keep us from seeing the news we want to see. And gosh, investigate them. That would be too bad.
Oh, no. The Democrat Party front group, Google, is going to get investigated by China. Can we add another 10% to the tariffs? We add another 10%. Let's go to Chet in Belgrade on the phone lines. Chet, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Why in the world are we, bringing in lumber from Canada?
Great point.
In the world are we bringing in copper from Peru?
Yep.
Why in the world are we bringing in steel from Asia and the taconite up in Minnesota and the Rust Belt and on and on?
Amen. I'm like the choir here.
Why are we allowing all this Darwin all to come across our borders still? That's all.
That's all that needed to be said. That actually ties in with a story I've been holding on to for the 9 o'clock hour coming up. Enormous hardship. Trump's tariffs on Canada threaten a crisis for community newspapers. We'll talk about that one in the 9 o'clock hour.
That's like the Google News. You know? Wait. The tariffs could hurt the local newspapers? Oh, please.
There are some good. There are some good local newspapers, some good weekly ones especially. But, yeah, but, oh, wait, you mean because we're so reliant on Canadian timber because these liberal newspapers supported the very liberal Democrats that shut down our sawmills and our timber industry? And now they're saying, no, we can't lose our Canadian timber. Let's go to Tim in Kalispell. Tim, we gotta, we're getting short on time here, but what's on your mind?
Oh, yesterday when you were talking about collecting illegal immigrants, I just had a thought that maybe Border Patrol would just pull their wagons on up to any Walmart and just hang out there and wait, and they'd be full, I'm certain, by noon.
Interesting. So you're saying it still seems like there's a lot of foreigners still hanging out at some of the big box stores in Montana. I wonder if these headlines are changing that.
Oh, someone pulled them.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if these headlines are changing anything. Tim, thanks for the call. Yeah, because, John, I mean, now I mentioned this nonstop local TV report where you had multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. The Daily Interlake has a report on four men detained by Border Patrol that are in the jail in Kalispell right now. And so, you know, maybe some of them still haven't gotten the information. And no entiendes, I guess, you know, whatever. How did you say? You're the Spanish speaker here. Whatever.
No hablo inglés, señor. No hablo inglés. The ICE tip line is out there. You guys can see it out there. It's out there on the internet. And everybody needs to know, call, you know, see something, say something, right? We've been told that for the last 25 years. See something, say something. Call these people. And everybody needs to know out there, that's our campaign, folks, is fear. Fear will make these people self-deport or stop committing crime while they're committing crime.
And oh, by the way, it's not just about accountability for the illegals that are here right now. It's also about showing real compassion for the people that want to be here and are doing it the right way and following the process. It's about compassion for them, not for these criminal illegals who've been abusing this country. All right, the Joker's sticking around for the 9 o'clock hour. So should you.
Is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the President have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy, so it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.